is it that so many Christians stumble and wander through the Christian life? Well, our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, tells us that the problem with so many who know the Lord is that they don't choose to go on with God. They get saved, but they don't get into the new life in Christ. They never get into His Word. Well, that's a problem that can be reversed if you can identify with this issue. So you've come to a good place to fix it, and you're on your way to an even better place, as together we'll travel through God's Word. Welcome to Through the Bible. We're in Hebrews 12 today, and we'll be studying again about the Old Testament heroes of the faith. So chapter 12 begins, "We also are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses." And Dr. McGee asks, are they witnessing us as we run the race in the 21st century, or are they witnesses to us about the race they ran? Well, we'll find out today as we come to this hope chapter. I'm Steve Schwetz, inviting you to join Through the Bible's president and me as we witness a great work of God in our day. He's given us a great opportunity to reach countless millions of people in over 120 languages and dialects with the whole Word of God. And today, we'd like to tell you what God's doing through His Word in Africa.
And Steve, we want to talk today about African French. And the reason I say African is we have other kinds of French.
We've got European French.
That's right, and Canadian French. And we have really an incredible ministry in African French. We broadcast in the Republic of the Congo, but it's heard in many other places like Burundi, West Africa, and you often hear people talk about Francophone Africa. That is French-speaking Africa.
Yeah. And if you want to join us in learning more about what's happening in the different parts of Africa as it relates to Through the Bible, as well as every other continent in the world, now is a great time to join the World Prayer Team, because every day is a great day to join
it,
but it's the best time right now, because in the month of January, we're going to do a kind of a flyover of the entire world. So you will get a quick snapshot in the month of January, daily email Monday through Friday. It'll make that drudgery of opening up your email inbox every day the highlight of your day, because you can pray and effectively be ministering the gospel around the world.
And Steve, our team is so committed to honoring your request that they've told us if you sign up today, you'll begin receiving it tomorrow.
Yeah.
So don't delay, sign up today. And if you don't want to, you can always unsubscribe. It's just an opportunity for you to invest in this ministry through prayer.
Yeah.
Now, really, we have some tremendous responses in African French, and we really want to highlight some different ways that we get responses. And the first one is people often hold a superficial belief in basic Christian ideas. This is in Africa.
Right.
Combined with animistic rituals and idols. Some people would call that syncretistic.
Yep, that's a missionary term.
And they need Jesus. So let's share some of these types of responses.
Great. Here's one. "Hello, brother. I need your help with sin. I am so weak and my sin fills my days. I do not know what to do or how to even ask God for help after the things I have done."
And Steve, this is a common element of our media ministry. We are walking with people through the process. People don't just hear one program and get saved.
Yeah.
Sometimes they do, but that's the exception, not the rule.
And if you can listen deeper into the request of this letter, they're desiring interaction and fellowship with other believers. And that's why we're rolling out these whole home Bible study groups, because we'll be able to connect a brother like this to a small group and have his needs ministered to in a very real way.
Absolutely. And here's another response of this kind of someone saying, "I need Jesus. Greetings. Thank you for your program. I am listening." Good. We always love to hear that. "I am looking for where real satisfaction comes from. I have known people who profess to know God but live horribly." And unfortunately, we all know people like that.
Yep.
He goes on to say, "I have known only one man who lives with ebullience." What a great word.
Yeah.
"And he told me about Jesus Christ. He directed me to your program. Pray for me."
Wow, that is such an encouragement. And we always really have two great classes of people that listen to the program. One is those who are not yet saved.
Right.
And those who are saved.
Dr. McGee would say a saint or an ain't.
Right.
Yeah.
And so now we've got a couple examples of some saints. Here's the first one. This is someone who's in the capital city of the Congo, which is Kinshasa. "I recently heard you teach about Paul and Silas in prison. As you were speaking, some faith and trust in God sparked in my heart, so I listened some more. Now I have placed my trust in Jesus Christ, and He leads me now. Praise the Lord. I will keep listening and pray you tell me how to live my life as a new believer."
And Steve, I think we can squeeze in just one more great response of those living by faith.
Go for it.
I send this text to say that the Word of God is good. It delivers. My life changed overnight because I heard your teaching, and I'm now working every day to give up myself. I am praying that I will, from now on, only want what God wants. I assure you that these results have surprised many, including me. I love that. Thank you for your messages. May God bless you.
Greg, let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for what you're doing in this part of Africa. I pray that you would continue to bless the ministry as it goes out, and that you would bless everybody who's listening to this program as we're going through Hebrews. In Jesus' name, amen. Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now I trust you found your place in the 12th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. We've come now to another great chapter here in this very great book that we've been studying. We're in the practical section now. We began in chapter 11 that Christ brings better benefits and duties today. And we've seen that that comes to us through faith. And faith is reality. It's not dream stuff that we're talking about. The 11th chapter has been called the faith chapter of the Bible. And if that is true, then I would call chapter 12 the hope chapter of the Bible. And if that is still true, then I would call chapter 13, the last chapter, the love chapter of the Bible. So that, friends, we have now come to the 12th chapter, and it's the hope chapter, and it's divided like this. I'll get rid of the mechanics right here at the beginning, but these help us to understand, and if you have our notes and outlines, you will be able to follow along. We have first the Christian race. That's in the first two verses. Then we have believers are now in contest and conflict. And that is verse 3 through 14. And then beginning with verse 15 through the rest of the chapter, you have the sixth danger signal that we have in this book. And this danger signal is the peril of denying. Actually, when we come here to chapter 12, we want to read verse 1 and get into this. This is a very wonderful statement made in the first two verses. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, I want us to take a look at these two verses. They're quite wonderful, and they need to be understood. We have in the first part of the epistle the peril of drifting, hearers just being hearers and just drifting along, doing nothing about God's salvation at all. Now, here in the last part, he's speaking to believers and the peril of remaining stationary. Let's get in the race. Let's start moving. Let's get going, but not drifting, you see. We're racing. And I would say that the greatest danger in the Christian life is at this particular point, the peril of just remaining stationary, doing nothing. There is a grave danger, they tell me, in the far north when you're out in the cold and can't find a place, get lost, that there's a danger of freezing to death. And the first step of it is you go to sleep. You just have to fight it. You can't keep from going to sleep. You have to keep moving. If you don't keep moving, you'll freeze to death. Well, I would say that that's the grave danger of believers today, the danger of just doing nothing, going to sleep. I would say that's far more dangerous than the peril of drifting today, of really being just heroes. That's bad enough. But this is something that is tragic indeed. Just staying right where you are. I've told the story before. The old cowboy back in the great meetings they used to have in West Texas years ago, a little lady with a sunbonnet got up to give her testimony. She said, "The Lord filled up my cup 20 years ago." And she said that nothing has run in and nothing's run out. This old cowboy in the back, he spoke out. He said, "I bet it's filled with wiggle tails now." And I think that's the condition of a lot of the saints today. They say that the Lord's filled my cup, but there's been no running over. They've just remained that way. And I agree with the cowboy. There's a whole lot of wiggle tails in a lot of these cups that people are boasting of. Therefore, we are told here we're to move out. We're to live by faith. Why? Wherefore? And wherefore is another one of these little words that is cement that holds the chapter that goes before with the chapter that's coming up. And that's what it does here. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, for many years, I took the position that the witnesses were these saints that are mentioned in the Old Testament, and many of them listed in the 11th chapter, and they're sitting in the grandstand watching us run the race of life today. Well, I personally couldn't think of anything that would be more boring to them than to watch us run the Christian race down here. That is the way some of us are running it. But it doesn't really mean that, although it caused me to lose a marvelous story that I'd heard, and I'd like to pass it on to you because it is a very sentimental story and it does make a point. There was a famous football coach in the East, and I heard this at the kickoff luncheon in Pasadena years ago that is given before the Rose Bowl game. A friend invited me to go with him, and one of the newscasters told about this famous coach in the East, that he had a football player that was famous for two things. The first thing was he was noted for his faithfulness at football practice. He was the first one out and the first one to leave the field. But he never could make the team. He just wasn't quite good enough. The second thing, though, he was famous for is that he had a father that visited him on the campus. And he and his father would be seen arm in arm walking across the campus, very much engrossed in conversation. And everyone, of course, noted that. They thought how wonderful it was. Well, one day the coach got a telegram saying that the boy's father had died, and they felt he was the proper one to transmit the sad news to the boy. He called him in and told him. The boy was greatly shaken, of course, and had to go home for the funeral, but he was present at the next game the next Saturday, and he was sitting now on the bench, and he came to the coach, and he said, "Coach, this is my fourth year and my last year, and I've never played in a game. And I'm wondering if today you just put me in for a few minutes and let me play." And so the coach put him in because the boy's father just died. And he put this boy in, and he turned out to be a star. He never saw anyone play a more brilliant, better game than this boy played. And he never took him out of the game. When it was over, he called the boy off to the side, called him by his name, and he said to him, "Listen, I've never seen anyone play like you played today, but up to today, you were the lousiest football player I've ever seen. I want an explanation." He says, "Well, coach, you see, my dad was blind. And this is the first day that he ever saw me play football." Well, may I say to you, if this verse of Scripture means that those that have gone before are sitting in the grandstand watching us, then that would be true. But unfortunately, that interpretation just won't stand up at all. The witnesses here are not actually sitting in the grandstand. They are the ones that have run the race down here. They are the ones that were down on the racetrack, and you and I are the ones sitting in the grandstand as we did through chapter 11, and we watched them run the race of life, and they ran it by faith. Those that would be called a howling success for the world, they did it by faith. And then those that suffered what the world would call miserable defeat, those that suffered and were slain with the sword, and those that suffered and endured, they went by faith also, and they're just as great heroes, and they witness to us. We're watching them, or have watched them, as we went through the 11th chapter. And you could go through the Old Testament, and I'm sure pick out many more, because the writer said the time would fail him to tell of all of them. There were many there, and they witness to us and encourage us to run by faith, to live by faith. The Christian life here is likened to a Greek race. Christ is the way to God, and along the way, the Christian is a soldier. He's to stand, and as a believer, he is to walk. But as an athlete, he is to run the race. And one day, we're going to fly, friends. That'll be at the rapture. We're going to do a little space travel to the New Jerusalem. Now, we're told here that we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and we're told, let us, let us. And we have another salad here, a lettuce salad. Let us lay aside every weight. Now, this is not a danger signal put up at all, but it's a challenge to us. Let us lay aside every weight, and let us lay aside every sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The point is this. Let us get now out of the grandstand. Let us get down on the race course of life, whatever God has called us to do, and wherever He's called us to live and move and have our being, let's get out on the race course and let's run the Christian race. Let us move out for God. That's the whole thought. A lady went into a department store years ago and went up to a floor walker and said to him, "Do you keep stationary?" "Oh," he said, "I move around every now and then." "Well, my friend, there are a lot of Christians. I think you could say to them on Sunday morning, do you keep stationary?" And I doubt whether they could say they ever move around very much. We're told here, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, but we're to do two things here. One is let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now, God has saved us from sin. He's brought us into the heavenlies, actually into the holy place. And He's made us to sit in heavenly places. He's given us His Holy Spirit. Then you and I fall down and stumble and wander like a man lost in the dark. What is wrong today with the Christian life, that is, as it's being lived at the present time? Well, I come back to the same string that I play on all the time, because I think this actually is the answer. The problem is that Christians do not go on with God. Many times they get saved, and then they start giving a testimony, and that's all they ever have. They never start studying the Word of God. That's the important thing. It's like the little girl that one night she fell out of bed, and her mother rushed in to her because the little girl began to cry. And she said to her, "Honey," says, "how come you to fall out of bed?" And she says, "I think I stayed too close to the place where I got in." Well, that's the problem of the Christian today. It's the reason we stumble and falter and fail today is because we're staying too close to the place where we got in. We need to go on. This is a race. We're to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. The Christian life, it's a race. Win or lose, all are to win. And this is the only race in which everybody can win. Paul put it, says, know ye not that they which run in a race, all run to receive a prize. Paul says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. And then he could rebuke some of his followers, ye were running well, what did hinder you? Now, the conditions to be met, first of all, is to be encouraged by these witnesses. They're not spectators. They're testifying to you today. They're in the cheering section. They're encouraging you and me to run the Christian life. Abraham is saying to you and me, move out by faith. Moses is saying to you and me, move out by faith. Daniel is saying to you and me, move out by faith. Now, the two conditions, laying aside the first, and that's the negative side, laying aside every weight and the sin. What does it mean by laying aside every weight? Well, it simply means this. Weights are highly unnecessary in a race. In fact, they are not essential at all, and we ought not to be using weights. I remember years ago when Gil Dodds was one of the famous runners in this country. He was here in Southern California. He was a very fine Christian. Some of us went out to the track at USC to watch him run. And he ran around a couple of times with tennis shoes on. He stopped, took them off, and put on some other little shoes. And one of the fellas there asked him, why did he change shoes? He had on tennis shoes already. He just took one of the tennis shoes, pitched it up, took one of these other shoes and pitched it up to him, told him to feel them. And believe me, there was really a lot of difference, enough difference that it caused him to lose the race. And that's what he said. Now, may I say that in the Christian life, there are a lot of things, friends, that are not wrong in and of themselves. But a Christian shouldn't be carrying those weights around because you won't win. Now, I'm going to use this illustration, and don't think I'm picking on any particular thing at all, because I'm not. You have to determine what you can do as a child of God, and I have to determine myself what I can do as a child of God. A young lady went to her pastor and said to him, is it all right to dance? And he said, sure it is if you don't want to win. The whole point is, it's not a question of right and wrong for a Christian in his conduct. It's taken for granted you're going to do what's right. It's not the question of whether this thing is right or wrong, but will this hurt my testimony? Will this keep me from winning? Will this be a weight in my life? And there are many Christians today that are carrying around a weight, and they ought not to be carrying around a weight. A lot of things, friends, that are not wrong, don't ask me to argue with you about whether dancing is wrong. I won't. I won't argue with you about any of these things that these separationists argue about today, that you can't do this if you're a Christian. I don't say you can't do it. All I'm saying is, are you in the race? You want to win? Are you looking unto Jesus? And that becomes the important thing, you see. Now, what is the sin? And I emphasize that. It says laying aside every weight and the sin. This is not just sin we're talking about. It's the sin. Well, we cast back on the last chapter because wherefore that opened this chapter took us right back. So it has to be the sin that was in the last chapter. What really was the great sin of the last chapter? Was unbelief. Unbelief is the sin, and there's nothing that will hold you back as unbelief. It's just like trying to run a race with a sack of wheat on your shoulders, that's a weight, and sticking your feet down in a sack, an empty sack, and trying to run a race. You'd never be able to do it, friends, and you can't do it in the Christian life. Unbelief is what holds many of us back. And if I may make a personal confession, I'm confident that has helped me back more than anything else in my Christian life. Now we're going to pick up right there next time and move on into this wonderful chapter.
If you can identify with Dr. McGee, or if you carry weights that are hindering you from running the Christian race, look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Read and then meditate on God's Word every day. To help you, we've created a scripture reading schedule that comes with our ministry newsletter. So to download yours now, you can visit the resources section at ttb.org and click on newsletter and bookmarks, or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE to receive it by mail. Our study of Hebrews chapter 12 continues tomorrow, when Dr. McGee encourages us to stay close to the Word of God, the only cure for weakness, failure, and discouragement. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll see you then.
Sin hath left a crimson stain.
Today's study with Dr. J. Vernon McGee is brought to you by Through the Bible, and it's made possible by the generous prayer and financial investments from listeners like you on the Bible bus all around the world.